Welcome back to another episode of Unscripted Exchanges. Hayden, I am stoked for this episode. We have Lenar Mukhmadi on here. He is an entrepreneur, hustler, you know, just all around incredible person. He has actually, you know, born in Russia, right? Grew up in Russia, moved here for college. And we were talking earlier, Hayden, and Lenar was telling me, basically, dude's working like 19 jobs at a time to pay for college, then goes to college, does, you know, probably did better than I did. And then, you know, now, you know, fast forward to where we're at today, and he's running an unbelievable engineering as a service company called Edelsoft. Incredible company, vision, and really focused on high growth startups, primarily high growth companies that need anything from engineering help to MVP help to recruiting. I mean, the whole nine. So, Lenar, we are excited to have you on here, excited for the conversation, and I'm fired up, guys. I'm fired up.
Yeah, good to meet you guys. Thanks for the invitation.
Cole, you're crushing it. I think this is two or three awesome guests that we have early into the new year. So, like you said, I'm looking forward to today's conversation with Lenar and learning a lot of awesome information about his story and, you know, his company. So, Cole, I'll pass it back over to you real quick.
So thank you. So, Lenar, if you're prepared, I'd love to give you an opportunity to kind of introduce yourself. Tell a little bit about, you know, who you are, your journey, and then we'll dive into, I've got a list of some hot topics we'll get into. As I told you before, Hayden, I was telling Lenar earlier on the phone, I said, don't tell me too much. I said, don't tell me too much because I want to be surprised when I hear it. So if you want to go ahead, Lenar, and maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, what you're doing, what's Edelsoft doing, and then, you know, we can kind of dive into your story and what makes you tick.
Yeah, thanks for a nice intro, Cole, and nice to meet you. I think it's my first time ever being on a podcast, so I'm going to be a little bit nervous, but in general, I think I'm super excited to be here, super excited to be part of your journey. To shortly introduce myself, like I live and reside in Tampa Bay area. I've been my 6th year here already. Previously, I spent another 5 years in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh specifically. Go Steelers. I see your Bengals shirt.
You don't see my joke. Okay, hold on. I'm going off cusp here for a second because he just said that. Hold on, guys, sit still. I'm gonna have to re-edit this. All right, but look what we're doing.
Oh, Joey, the savior.
Sorry, as soon as you mentioned that, I had to grab it.
Yeah, you had to. All right. Yeah, I've been a software engineer basically all my life. I grew up in, as you mentioned, in Russia. There's a small region, which is like a multi-ethnic region where like Russians and ethnicity, which is called Tatars, are divided into two pieces. It's like in a very diverse place. I was growing up at the farm. I was like a regular kid. I wouldn't say I was exceptional. Valedictorian, straight A's kid, just regular guy, regular boy in the farm. But as soon as I went to college, I started showing some interest in software development, software engineering, and IT space in general, because probably you've seen all the growth of like companies like Microsoft, Yahoo, while growing up, you know, like it's been with you like for all the time. But when I grew up, like it seemed like very far away. It seemed like very distant, you know, like who are these people? Who are this like nerd guy like Bill Gates, you know, who is like super rich, you know, the richest guy in the world, like, you know, how he became rich, where's the factories, you know, we're manufacturing, what he's doing, you know, like I was kind of like super pumped to learn that there is such a business as IT or technology space, startups and stuff like that. And that's how I got into like technology. So I started my career in software testing. I was working as a QA engineer, eventually transitioning into software engineer. And when I moved to Tampa, I started thinking like, okay, how can I monetize my skills? Because I didn't have much of skill before, except to failed investment into a restaurant business, right? I was like, I want to do IT, you know, like I'm in the heart of the IT industry, which is obviously the US, there's plenty of opportunities to build yourself up. And this project, like Illusoft company, started as a solo consulting. I was working as a single entity going into the project, helping out startups to build anything, basically, you know, anything I know, I didn't know, I will just take any project, build website for $1,000, done, you know, like build, do some integration, like $200, done, you know, like create a logo, done, you know, like I was like basically taking up everything just to keep myself busy and then just, you know, learn everything and build from scratch. But eventually this business of mine transformed into like full established business, you know, right now we have 12 people in the company. And we are like working with really solid names, like clients who are backed by Mark Cuban, Nielsen, Y Combinator, Techstars, Antler, Hyundai, Kia. You know, like, and it's been a journey. I think I'm not gonna lie. First few years were kind of like it was part time. I was managing full time, and I was managing big business. But as soon as I started making like some six figure savings, I was like, okay, I should quit. I should focus solely on the business. And since then, I'm working on it full time, and that's how I met Cole. I was recruiting him for a startup from Y Combinator, and I was like, okay, that's going well. Market is right now is not greatest, to be honest. Hiring market, job market, tech market is plenty of layoffs, plenty of firings, and stuff like that, cutting costs. But despite all the challenges, we are doubling revenue every year almost, you know, like, and hoping to be projected to double our revenue this year too. So I guess that's about it. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot there, Hayden. There's a lot there, buddy.
There certainly is. So real quick, Lennar, I mean, there's a lot of ways we could dive into, you know, hearing your story there. For any listeners that, you know, are potentially pursuing the software or engineer route, like you had mentioned throughout your journey, you know, you were a developer at one point, like, where do you think a good place would be to start? Like, I'm sure, you know, the resources out there today are a lot different than they were even, you know, 12 months ago, let alone like 5 years ago. So like, what advice would you give to people that are looking to immerse themselves in like a software or engineering kind of background, and where do they begin? Like with a boot camp, or how would you navigate that?
I think the first we have to understand that every company is IT company, right? Like even you as a podcast, you are also IT company. You do all kind of IT tools, like to promote yourself, to build your build your brand, to build your company, you know, like acquire stuff. So everything, everywhere you look at it, there is IT, you know, like there's plenty of opportunities for software engineers, like data scientists and machine learning engineers, like QA engineers, DevOps engineers, like plenty of opportunities everywhere. So despite the challenges that the market is currently facing, you'll see the opportunity everywhere. I think the one thing that I'm always looking into when I'm hiring, for example, juniors, I'm looking for motivation, right? I don't want to like, I want to make sure that I'm investing in the right talent. You know, like everybody hates when you hire the wrong person and then you spend your money, time, resources on that and it doesn't work out, you know, everybody hates that. And I think the employers also, when they're looking for software engineers, and they're also looking for a thing called motivation. You don't have to know everything, you know, like it's impossible to know everything in the software engineering. But the one thing that you have to show is the courage and motivation to learn, and obviously discipline. Because this market is pretty saturated right now, I will say. A lot of like colleges are producing software engineers, bootcamps, like I think that everyone is doing courses, teaching, you know, like Coursera, like training, stuff like that. A lot of stuff is going on. So there is bad jobs. I won't say like people gonna, if you are like skilled person who shows motivation and courage, you'll find something for yourself. But also it's important to mention that companies are different, you know, different. You can talk about like fan companies like Microsoft, Netflix, Facebook, you know, like and stuff like that. But also there's companies like regular local mom and pop shops, you know, like they also like building local insurance projects, you know, like there's healthcare applications everywhere, you know, like for stuff. So obviously you have to aim high, but you can start small, you know, like
what I'm hearing Lennar from you and Hayden, to answer your question, is there's a lot of resources out there. Like there are a dime a dozen, right? And that's true. Every month that goes by, there's 50,000 more, you know, software platforms that are being created, right? And that's probably a small number because the more we get, the more we develop. So what I'm hearing you, Lenar, say is it's not so much just the fact that you can go take a course or get a degree, but it's more than that. It's the willingness to go outside of your comfort zone to learn more, or like you said, you know, maybe I want to get a job in Microsoft as a systems engineer, but, you know, I don't have that background. Okay, well, what am I willing to learn to be able to do that? And that's an intangible that I think it sounds like you've got to have to be successful in that in this environment.
Well, I think also having the direction also helps, right? So you cannot like... there is thousands of, not thousands, but hundreds of different frameworks and programming languages and technologies, right? You cannot know everything. You know, you have to find your interest language you like, or you have to just look at the stats, you know, like what programmers are in high demand, you know, whether it's data science or whether it's machine learning, systems engineer, and you have to just figure direction, you know. There is a hype about AI right now. And you can obviously put that on your resume, start doing something with AI. ChatGPT API is open for everyone. You can pretty much build anything over the top, you know? There's a lot of like ChatGPT wrappers creating around right now, you know? And I was just learning about the startup that I found out about a couple of weeks ago. They are creating AI SDR, who is gonna, you'll be communicating with the startup. And you'll be giving him directions like, okay, reach out to this lead that is matching this criteria, right? And I'll be reaching out to email, LinkedIn, through different channels, and I'll be booking appointments for you. And I'll be setting up appointments for you on the Google Calendar. I'm not sure how it's going to be successful. You know, like they are still in the
early stages. Right?
Early stages. But ChatGPT is a pretty powerful thing. You know,
well, like you can.
Definitely utilize it for testing your ideas. You know?
Mm-hmm. So real quick for, you know, someone that's maybe not as technical listening. I mean, I have a strong enough background to understand when you say a wrapper around like ChatGPT, like what does that mean? Like you see something new out there every day, it seems like, and someone's just kind of building upon, you know, some of the capabilities that foundationally speaking, OpenAI has established. So do you mind like elaborating on like what you mean by like a wrapper in ChatGPT?
Well, sure. ChatGPT is kind of like you put your prompt and then you give your answer and give your solution, right? But you can do so much with that. You know, you can create actually the interactive UI, nice interface for users, you know? So that way, you know for sure like how you can communicate with ChatGPT without actually clarifying your prompt. You know, like you can do big prompts manually, but there is always like wrappers on the top of ChatGPT and taking as a software tool. You know, like as providing you better user experience to interact with ChatGPT API. You know, and for example, I was mentioning the sale SDR thingy, right? You can also actually integrate ChatGPT with different tools, you know, like Apollo, you know, like ZoomInfo, like LinkedIn, you know, like stuff like that. There is Zapier. You can use Zapier for integrations and stuff like that. So you can really automate everything and create startup out of it, you know, like and really use ChatGPT for something needed for your users and customers as a product that you sell. You know, it can be Chrome extension as a wrapper, you know, it can be like some application, like cloud application, so like that. So it's a really complex, that's how you deal with API. If you ever create a startup, you do payment systems with either PayPal API or Stripe API, you know, and that's basically what ChatGPT is. You just integrate ChatGPT into your business and create a like business on the top of it, you know.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. And I appreciate you going into a little bit more detail explaining all of that. I think we've probably given, not even just us here, but the world at large, ChatGPT, a ton of publicity. But where I kind of want to go with this is like, how are you either maybe even leveraging ChatGPT, or how are you using AI with your company Idlesoft today?
Definitely, yeah. I use it daily. It's like I have a paid subscription. I use it daily. It could be super useful, you know, like even for generating job descriptions. We get a job description from our clients, and we just throw it to the ChatGPT and say, like, okay, generate questions based on this job description.
Or make this sound better, right? Make this sound more exciting. It's like, okay, this is like, I know I've seen some of these, sorry to jump in. I've seen some of the applications or the overviews they put out there for jobs, and you go, that doesn't look exciting. Like, how are you gonna get people to like actually apply to this job? No wonder you've got three applications.
Yeah, this ChatGPT is an example, right? It's obvious, like Bard, you know, Gemini, stuff. There's more stuff, right? But I totally get you, because I've seen ChatGPT choice of words is not the human friendly. It's still like a robot, you know.
Yes. You gotta read it. You gotta read it. It's funny. I did a project where I work. We did a big project. It was like, I was doing a new presentation for something. So I was just like, screw this. I don't do any of the copy. So I just put a prompt in and let it spit it out. Luckily, I went back and read it before I did the presentation. Yeah. It was good. Like, the meat was there, maybe like 80, 90%. But I'm like reading through it. I'm like, all right. So like, some of these sentences don't really make sense, or like it used this word, but that doesn't really fit here, or like that's overly complicated. So that's really interesting. And I feel like, In the human intensive world that we live in, especially like what Idlesoft's doing is, you've got to have a level of help with just the constant communication, and to be able to leverage that is huge. One of the things, Hayden, because you asked that question, I actually had a conversation with one of my coworkers a couple of days ago about AI, and he's like, I was tasked with figuring out how we're going to leverage AI. And use AI. And I was like, well, in what sense? And he goes, well, Tom, our president just wants to know how we're going to use it. And I said, okay, but like, is it going to either make us more money or make our lives easier? Because if we don't have either of those, what's the point of even looking at using AI? So I think one of the big things for all of us to remember, and probably you're running into this, is like, AI tools are fantastic and they're rapidly growing, but it's, you know, there's not always a use case everywhere for them. And like, sometimes they can actually make your life a little bit harder, because you're taking a third step when you could have gone right to the source. You're like, oh, I'll use AI to do this. It's like, actually, you took yourself four times as long to set that up than just doing it yourself. So I think there's a balancing act to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there is content creation part also involved with the AI, right? But right now, I think eventually what Google is going to do, and they are actually already doing that, if they see the content was created using AI, it's not going to index it on the back of Google, you know. It's just going to ignore it, because they're going to see that it's being generated by AI, it's not human-friendly text, you know, the copy that created. So initially there's going to be sources that's going to be fighting AI internally, so it's going to be limiting the AI usage on the internet, because there's so much content being created, you know.
So you think, because that's interesting, I hadn't even heard that take, right? These media platforms are going to throttle they're going to start looking for, they're probably going to use AI to look for AI, right? They're going to say, hey, we're going to basically try to figure out who's actually creating like novel and new and real content, and who's using AI to create it. Oh, since you didn't spend time on it yourself, we're going to throttle your post or your article or your product. Because that's interesting. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, I think it will happen eventually, because otherwise, like, there will be tons of media resources dumping all the information and content on LinkedIn, like LinkedIn influencers. There's many of them. And Twitter influencers and stuff like that, they're going to be like dumping content on you daily, you know, like, and I think eventually this social media platforms or Google like searches, you know, they didn't stop blocking and not showing you this information because it's been generated with AI. And if you post like 5-6 times a day and users will not see it, what's the point of building a brand online, you know?
Right. Hayden, if you don't mind, I'm going to take us a different route here real quick.
Do it.
Okay. We're going to pivot here. I want to come back to the very, when you did your introduction and talked about, you know, you did a synopsis of you started off, basically started off in this small town in Russia that was multi-ethnic, right? Very diverse, but felt like it was very kind of removed from what was going on in the world a little bit, right? Because you're like, hey, to be able to be in this tech world, to be able to be, you know, within the likes of like Microsoft and these guys, you're like, that's so far out there, right? You're like, that feels so foreign, literally, not just figuratively, but like literally, because you came to the U.S., it was foreign to you, right? And so what I think is really, really neat is the fact that not only did you say you saw that, but you recognized that's something that you thought you could find success in. And then you moved to the United States, went to school here, and did that. And so I guess my first question about that whole experience, because I think that's incredible. I think that journey is just unbelievable. It's coming back to like, what was going through your mind when you first said, hey, I'm going to move. I'm going to go to school in the United States. And I'm going to pursue what I'm going to call the American dream. I might get canceled for talking about that because people don't want to talk about the American dream anymore. But what I call it, the American dream, pursuing the American dream, which is, hey, whatever I create and whatever I'm willing to work for, I can attain. I saw a post from you from about 8 months ago about Independence Day. You said, I'm so thankful that I came here and I've been able to achieve success. That to me, like that hit me hard. So I guess my first question is, or for you to elaborate on is, and what was that feeling when you first, move from your home to a new country when you didn't know anybody? Did you have any family here? Like, just walk me through how that felt.
Yeah, I didn't have family actually here, but I had like some few friends that I met before who were helping me out here. And basically they've been super supportive to me when I was coming here, and they will pick me up from airport. They will like throw me around, you know, like they will help me with like basic setup, you know, obtaining social security number and stuff like that, you know, like the legalization part. So I think in general, like it was, I was mind blown when I first came here because I barely spoke any English, you know, it was like very little English because we don't speak English daily back in Russia. And I was blown away, like, oh my God. And I was in Pittsburgh. Imagine if I came to San Francisco or somewhere, you know, like LA.
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I was actually like very surprised about my family, you know, like in our area, in Europe in general, we barely smile to people, you know, like we're just very like, you know, ourselves, you know, like you've seen movies with Russians, you know, like they're like always like cold face, you know, like these guys, you know, like Ivan Drago, people, kind of people, you know, like, and you know, like, and it's always like it was I think first impression that, oh wow, everyone's so friendly and supportive. Every time I will say something, you know, like oh, I'm trying to do this, you know, like I'm achieving these goals, you know, like when I was even like first year immigrant, you know, like they were like, oh, so cool, man, that's so great that you're doing it, you know, like, and I wish you good luck. And I was feeling, oh man, I'm so powerful, everyone's supporting me, I'm gonna achieve this. Back in Russia, like you'll tell someone like, oh, I'm building this company, you know, like we're gonna do engineering as a service. I was like, what the hell is this, you know, like why are you doing that? I mean, go work as a regular person, you know, like 40 hours a week, a 9-to-5 job, you'll make money, like get mortgage and stuff like that. Why are you doing that? I think that I was lacking the support, I will say, most of the time. Okay. When I was in Russia, because they were like easily shut you down for outside opinion, even though like Russia is not the most democratic country in the world, mostly saying, right? And you raise your opinion, like, which is different from the agenda, like regular agenda, they might shut you down, you know, like, and I think that it's voices or like echoes of communism, you know, like our country has spent like 80 plus years and almost 80 years in communism, you know, like where you won't have a chance to be an entrepreneur, you know, like you had all your life planned out. You will finish your school, you'll go to college, and from college they will send you like somewhere to work. You know, like you're not choosing where to work, but they will send you somewhere to work. So you're living like in the western part of Russia, like with your family, everyone is there, you know, like, and you do like, I know you're interested in like, I know, like geology or whatever, and they will send you all the way to the Siberia, you know, like just because they need people in Siberia, you know. It was like all your life was planned and you didn't have like much creativity in your life, you know, like, and plus, I guess for some people it was good that to have like some sort of stability. You finish college, you already have a job, you know, like you work there to raise your kids, but for younger generation like mine, which was born after the fall of the USSR, you know, like it was not fun experience. We were all about like achieving things, you know, like interesting world, you know, traveling, discovering new countries. I think the America seemed the perfect place for me when I went here. You know, like it was, first of all, it's a country of immigrants. Everyone came here. I'm pretty sure your grandparents came from somewhere.
100%. You
know? Yeah. And even now, like, if you look at the, like, CEOs of the top companies, you know, like, startup founders, like, they are all from, like, everywhere, you know, like, Elon Musk is from South Africa, you know, and their father is from Cuba, you know, like, you'll see, like, the CEO of Microsoft and Google, they are from India, you know, like, they are, if you like achieving things, if you are good at overachieving things, and dream big, you come to the United States to make your dreams big, you know, like, because to be honest, like, if you're willing to travel far away from your family all the way to another country by yourself, start from the bottom with no English and build yourself up, you're getting like really motivated people here, you know, like there must be something good with this country. There is not like you don't get like people here coming here and then sitting on social benefits like forever, you know, like for example, I don't want to like badmouth like countries like in Europe, like Germany or something, you know, like you can basically sit on the welfare like forever, you know, like, and you don't need anything. But here, you gotta work, you gotta grind, you know, otherwise you'll be homeless or go back to your country and nobody wants to fail, you know.
I'm back, didn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Cole, but I'd say America is a pretty awesome place to be, you know?
Dude, you know about me. 100%, dude. That's why. Dude, well, I love, I mean, all of that, Lenore. And I felt, you know, I asked that question because you've been very comfortable this whole time, but I knew from talking to her, I was like, that's the what we need to get into is how you felt making that transition, because that's personal to you. And I could feel the passion coming from you, talking about that and talking about, you know, like the support you got. And I think that was a really interesting point you talked. You said you can't come here and just sit around on your ass, is basically what you're saying. You're like, do you want to come? If you're coming, especially that far away, you're coming here with a purpose, and you understand that like what you've given up, like you got to put in the work to get what you want out of it. And that's really, really neat to hear. I feel bad that you came to Pittsburgh. That hurts me for you a little bit. Makes me sad. I know those are probably some dark years for you. You're probably like, what is this all about? You know, why did I come? I mean, that must have been tough. But I've got a couple questions. Hayden, I'll let you, if you want to make, you know, have anything to say, or you have a couple questions. I know I've been kind of jumping in. So what did you think, or what do you have to ask, Hayden?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I would echo everything that you just mentioned there. And I really appreciate, Lenore, you kind of sharing something that's probably pretty vulnerable about your story and coming over and what you felt. But it is very reinvigorating just to hear that we have a lot of opportunities in the United States that maybe some of us take for granted. And like, you have to go out and work and grow those opportunities into additional opportunities and kind of climb that ladder, to say. But I think one question that I kind of wanted to circle back to, or topic, I should say, is, you know, you're a CEO and founder with your SaaS company. What would you say is like the most impactful thing about being a founder that you enjoy? And then kind of on the flip side, what is some of the toughest things that you have to deal with on like a day-to-day basis?
I think that being CEO is not like working 9 to 5, it's like working 24/7. That's, I think, one thing that you have to like face it, you know, like it's only fun when you watch like YouTube videos or blogs saying like, I'm the CEO, I wake up at 5 p.m., they go to the gym, take a cold shower, you know, like I'm successful 24/7. It's not like that. It's always like up and down, you know, like there are failures, there are mistakes you make and you learn from it, you know, like it's obviously everyone is different, every business is different. Some people struggle for years before they become successful, you know, like, and but for some people success comes like the first year, you know, like it's different experience for everybody. I think that's the main point. And about being a business owner is that it's challenging, obviously. It's challenging in terms of that you spend all your time trying to be a person who wears multiple hats. You have to be good at every level of your business, whether it's a marketing, whether if it's operations, management, sales, hiring, you know, like, and the risk is very high, you know, like even especially for smaller companies, you know, like when you hire somebody internally for your business and it doesn't work out, then you probably lost like a couple months, you know. I think it's more about focus and finding the right people that's going to surround you and going to help you grow eventually. That's the mindset of startups right now. They are selling giving the stock options, you know, like giving this for employees because they want to feel committed also, you know, like, and obviously there are different people. Some people situations are really hard. You cannot like expect from everyone to be an entrepreneur, you know, like even like right now, like in the US, for example, you cannot like easily quit your job if you have family and kids and start doing business from zero, because first your kids and family, they need like health insurance. And that's the one thing that I don't really like about the US is that your health insurance ties to where you work, you know. You cannot just easily start from the bottom and become entrepreneur and work for basically no money for people. It's a huge risk. You know? But I think that the toughest part is it's not fun. It's fun when you are doing great, but when there are like some issues that you have to struggle, you're losing clients, you're making struggles, you know, like you're failing at some point, you know, like stuff like that, you have to like deal with it and you have to have a really good level of stress holding skills, you know, like you have to deal with it somehow, you know.
You say diamond hands. I saw a video of, I know you have something to say, I just saw this video of Dave Portnoy. When he was doing during COVID, you know, Dave Marshall Schwartz, he goes diamond hands. He was day trader Dave, and he was like, I popped up on my newsfeed. It was like diamond hands. I'm holding on to it. I don't care if everybody's getting out. And I was like, that's what you're describing, right? Is as a CEO and as an owner and founder of a business, you've got to be able to be positive and keep working through the downtimes, right? Even when stuff gets really bad, or even when you fail or decline, like you got to still hold on to the vision. You got to be like, okay, we're going to make it through it. Like everybody, let's lock arms, right? Let's stay in this together. But that's on you, right? Because you feel ultimately responsible for it. So I thought of that video. We should do a little clip of that video with Lenore saying, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think what you're describing too, Lenore, is just the power of being resilient. As you were describing, I mean, it is fun at times, but there's a lot of times where you're probably putting out fires and, you know, you're like, shit, is this really what I want to be doing? I mean, I think everyone has those thoughts, whether you're a CEO of a company or, you know, you're the janitor, you're just like, am I cut out for this? But you have to continue to push forward even in those tough days. And Cole and I have, you know, talked about this ad nauseum on a lot of our episodes, but just the power of, you know, finding the silver lining and staying consistent and showing up, because, you know, look at where you'll be 4 or 5 years from now. I mean, I'm sure where you are today, is light years ahead of where you guys were when you first started, you know, a few years back. And like, that's extremely powerful, but you have to have that vision leading everyone like, hey, I'm buying into this vision. I got to get other people to buy in, and I have to continue to keep them, you know, bought in even when things aren't going well. Cause you don't have anyone probably to hype you up. Like you're, you know, at the highest level there. So it's like, I got to just keep showing up and showing that, you know, we're going to make it through these tough times. So totally can resonate with that, especially Cole and I were previous, you know, business owners ourselves. And it's just, yeah, not every day is going to be easy, and it's just continuing to show up and push forward.
100%.
I love that. I love that. I wanted to follow that question. That was a really good one, Hayden. Another probably closer to home for you, Lenore, but, we talked about, I know I got a little 2-year-old. I was just playing hide and go seek with her actually before this afternoon. She doesn't understand hide and go seek really. I mean, she understands the concept of like, go hide because dad's going to find you. But she just like, I'm not kidding you, for 45 minutes to an hour straight, she'd go in her room and shut the door and sit in there and go, you found me. And I'm like, yeah, for the 17th time in a row. But one of the things that I think, you know, we talk about a lot on here, Lenore, is the balance of personal life, right? Because when you're motivated, and when you're driven, and when you want to be, to excel in areas like, whether it's, you know, it's personal and physical and mental and career, that's a hard thing to balance being a parent and stuff. So one of the things I would ask you is how have you balanced, you know, with the ups and downs and running a business that you have to be on 24/7, how have you balanced that against being a newer father? And being there and being present and trying, like, has it been tough? What has that been like?
Yeah, I can give you like long answer. I can give you a short answer. Short answer is that you outsource to nanny, you know.
Hey, yo.
Long answer is that, yeah, it's obviously hard. My wife, like, she's had a career before. Right now we work together. She was a senior manager at L'Oreal, the cosmetics company, like beauty company, a pretty famous company like in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And previously she was with PwC also, like, which is a big four company, like, so she has a career as a business, and it was hard to manage, like, to hard to be those kind of parents who are focused on a career but also want to, like, have a kid, you know, like, have stuff like that. So it was, in the beginning, it was actually really hard, you know, like, and sleepless nights and stuff like that. But thanks God, we found our nanny that she was able to help out during the day and the evenings. We will spend time together. But the nights were rough, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think the balance here, there is no right answer, to be honest. Like, I don't want to, like, sound smart, saying like, okay, you have to do this to be balanced. There is no right answer. Everyone. You want to spend time with your kid while they're growing up, you know, like, because you don't want to spend time on your business only, you know, like, and then one day found out that your kids are already grown up and you missed all that timeline when they were little. They would try to walk, they would try to speak, you know, like, they would try to, like, show the first signs of being adult, you know, like, and you don't want to miss that. You want to be there for them. You want to face it. You want to see it, how they are growing and how they are building up to the human, you know, like, and I think that's the most important part. And every time, like, when I was out of work, you know, I will just spend that extra time with my family. Every time the family is, like, still number one priority for me. That's kind of like, sounds cheesy, but that's true, you know, like, even though, like, job is important, business is important, but family is number one. Because your job might not be there tomorrow for you, or your business might go away, you know, like, but your family, the audience that support you, you know, like, and you're committed, you're married, have a kid now, you're committed. It's commitment, you know, you have the commitment, you have to commit to it, and you have to show that you're committed, and you have to show that you love them and that you care about them. Because there are stories, you know, like, when, for example, married people, especially when husbands, they get, like, super successful and they start looking for models, you know, like, and
yeah,
being ego thing, you know, like, and the families are broken apart. I don't want to, because my growth is my family growth, you know, like, and when I was focused on business, my family supports me, my wife also supports me, you know, like, and I want to Like, I don't want to be that guy who's going to be like be super rich one day and start looking at the start dating like Victoria's Secret models, you know, like.
Well, you know what that, you know what the I think, and I did kind of bait you on that question. I know it's not a yes and no, or it's not an easy question. But you know, I think it's good to hear it for our listeners to hear that it's not just a black and white answer. It's really important to me too, Lenore. Hayden knows, we've talked about this again, you know, a lot on the podcast. I've got two daughters and I've been married. I had our first daughter when I was 19, which we've talked about a lot. She's a rock star. She's turning 10. And then we had our second one. And, I think there is, like you pointed out, there's no right way to do it. It's just to remember that your priority, you know, businesses come and go, money comes and goes. Right. But those relationships and those moments and that time like are 100% like price, absolutely priceless. And what I think is kind of indicative of your mentality for our listeners to know is that you have a no quit mentality, which is what you have to have not only in business and in your career, but also in your as a parent and as a husband. You can't quit. Like, it can't be an option. There are going to be ups. There's going to be downs. There's going to be good and bad. But it's like, you can't go, oh shoot. I'm just choosing not to be a dad for the next couple of days. I'm choosing, like, you don't get that option. And I think that your story lends itself to that resilience, like you were talking about, Hayden. You know, I think that's just really cool to hear your thoughts and stuff on that. And I resonate with that really hard. That's a big thing for me.
100%. I want to try to put a bow on our conversation because I know we're getting kind of close to time, but Cole and I typically like to ask a lot of our founders this question. It's kind of a two-part question, Lenore. The first question would be, knowing what you know today, what advice would you give to your younger self? And then, like, if you were to write yourself a letter and talk to yourself in the future, what advice would you give your future self?
Teach myself or can you take the question?
Yeah, so it's a two-part question. The first part of the question would be, what advice would you give to your younger self? And then what advice would you give to your future self, let's say 10 years from now?
I think the first part of the question, when if I will give advice to myself when I was younger, is definitely, if you have an idea, do it. You know, there is less risk when you're doing it, like when you're young and stupid, you know, there is a more chance that you will succeed, you know, and when you are smart and know everything, you know, like, you start thinking about like negatives, you know, like, I was like, okay, what if I'm going to do this, you know, what's going to happen, stuff like that, you know, like you're young, you're like broke and you have an idea, go for it, like right away. Because that's the way to go. That's the way to learn things. That's the way to achieve things. Because you'll learn way faster than attending college or reading a book. You know, like by doing it. You know, when you are young, and they will, in your creativity. I mean, let's be honest. You are way more creative when you are like under 20 than you are closer when you are closer to 30. You know, like that's for sure. You think about a lot of things. You can consume so much information. Right now, you are like, okay, you're picking what information to consume. I was like, okay, okay, this is not important. I'm going to consume it. You know, like, this is less important. You know, like, you are less curious when you are like older. You know, like, but when you are young, you're super curious. Everything's interesting. You know? You're like a kid who just, got into the US first time from Port Tempe. You know, everything is fun for you.
Dude, Hayden, how hard does that hit home? I see Hayden smiling. He's going, dude, it's so true, right?
True words have never been spoken. Exactly. Absolutely.
I mean, think about this. Think about like how many times, like even now, when you have like something like you got to make a decision on, like all the people you ask advice for that are older than us, over the course of years, are always like, well, have you considered this and this? And have you considered that? And well, this is the risk and this is that. And then you start quite right. You're going, okay, well, I got to make a rational decision. And when you're like 20, unless you, I mean, I had a kid, but I still was freaking wild, dude. I was like, all right, what's the worst that's going to happen? And my kid's going to have food, so we'll be good. Like, you just, you don't process. You're not worried about the risk because you're like, I got all this time ahead of me. You got all these. So that's, that was just, that was a good, that was a good one. I like that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I think the second part of the question about future myself is, I guess, keep grinding. And I'm going to say, like, you are living peaceful, successful life because of me, you know, because I was grinding when I was younger. And my future myself is going to be successful and independent and happy because I and the younger self work hard. When we're younger, you know, I guess that's it. Not really advice, but show some respect.
I love it. That is a hype me up segment right there, Lenar. You're gonna watch this 20 years from now or however long, and you're gonna be like, "Damn, I'm very proud of where I am." I love that message.
Yeah.
Cole, is there anything else that you want to wrap things up with?
I mean, you know me, we could sit here for 4 hours. We could do a Rogan podcast and I'd still be going. We could get five different routes. I would just ask this. This is my last question. Where do you see this is a tough one, but we like to ask this. There was one of the questions we like to ask our entrepreneurs and people, guests that have come on, but where do you see Edelsoft going in the next five plus years? I know you were talking to me a lot about, and I know we can't get too many details, that, you know, you guys have been growing the size clients you have and being more picky with who you're working with. Do you have any idea or thought?
More clients, more than five.
What did you say?
More than five clients.
No, I'm saying like in 5 years, like in the next five years or more.
Okay.
Do you have any, like, no, I know you have more than five clients. No, I was just asking, like,
come on, Cole.
It's
this new software that we're using. There's a lag. So it sounded bad.
It's like I'm about to bitch slap you, Cole.
I'll slap him when I see him next year, Lenar. I'm a little bit closer than you are.
No, I guess my question is, where do you see, what do you see as the evolution of your business over the next 5 to 7 years? Do you have a vision for where you'd like to be, or is it, you know, kind of like, you know, go where the wind takes you?
Yeah, definitely. It's a good question. I was thinking about it a lot actually lately. I think that eventually we want to move away from being like a service company to being a sales focus company. I guess that's the one business I'm thinking about, because there's a lot of high demand, you know, like for engineer resources all over the world, you know, like, and if you've seen some changes to the taxation from IRS, that is the section 174, if you guys heard about it, there's gonna be a lot of changes applying to the hiring people in the US, and it will become tougher. And I think the world itself is merging, you know, like, and when right now, like, when you see all that unions, like collaborations, you know, like, that is, the world is going to become one eventually, you know. That's a good thing about like startups or companies, tech companies. Like, they are, you can build your company like in poor village of Nepal, but you still can be successful to the whole world. You know, that's the beauty of the world. And I think that for my company, Edelsoft, I think we're going to be more focused on tech, and we're going to be focused on global achievements. We're not going to be only working with the US based customers, with based clients, right? You know, right? We're going to be building a global team with a global approach. And eventually, being a service company, I think the whole industry of recruiting is still using like some outdated methods of finding people and recruiting, hiring people. I think there is plenty of potential there. Obviously, there's a lot of competition. There's dozens of hundreds of companies that tried to disrupt this market already, you know? This is not new. But I think if the recruiting is going to become more tech-focused, you know, eventually the thing with the AI is going to come play along, you know, like, and I think that Edelsoft, that's what I want to do. Like, I think it's a short-term plan, even the 5 year thing, it's a more like a this year plan, you know, like to build this platform that will make people to find jobs easier, and also they will help people to recruit the talent easier also, because Indeed, all the companies, they are all great. You know, like even Twitter just acquired like some HR software because you want to also like list jobs on Twitter somehow. You know, like it's called Lasky, I think. I think they are, there's definitely demand. And I think the one thing that's going to be great about it, you can hire people globally. You can access the best talent, especially with the remote approach. You know, like before you will do something on site. Obviously some businesses, they require to be on site, you know, like selling stuff on site or being stuff on site. But eventually with that remote focused work, you will have opportunity to be a global company really and expand your team globally. I think that's why I'm going to be looking into eventually to grow, to be not only like local or regional business, but more like a global business that's going to attract people.
Breaking news. You heard it here first, Cole.
I know, dude.
Edelsoft is going global. That's the prediction. I love it.
It's manifested. And he's manifesting is what he's doing. I love how confidently you said that, too. Like, I just love the belief you've got, man. You're just like, yeah, we're gonna go global. And, like, I believe it. That's the beauty of it, dude. I felt that, and I was like, let's go. Like he was on this. This was his first podcast. That's cool. That's fun.
Don't give us that. You've been on like 10 of these. You're a pro, Lenar.
We said it at the beginning. No, I'm kidding.
You seem like a seasoned vet.
In a year, if I was bluffing or not, you know, like. I'll buy a drink if I fail.
Well, you crushed it today, and we really appreciate, you know, all the insights, learning about your story and, you know, where you want to take your company and just who you are as a person. And as Cole mentioned, you know, we could keep going for, you know, another 3 or 4 hours, but I know we all probably don't have the time today. We'd love to probably sit back down with you sometime in the future and continue some further conversations. But yeah, like I said, we really appreciate your time here today. Cole, I don't know if you'd add anything else before we wrap up officially.
Oh, no, man. We just appreciate you coming on. And for all our listeners, you can find Lenar on LinkedIn. You can also get on his website, IDELSOFT.com. Engineering as a service, they offer an array of services. So get in while it's hot, because it sounds like in the next 5 or 6 years, they're going to be moving and shifting. So they might have some really, really cool tech and products coming out. But check them out, IDELSOFT.com. You can check Lenar out on LinkedIn. We will also be sharing this video, these clips, along with his information that we will post on our socials. So you'll be able to reach him. And just, man, thank you for coming on and sharing your journey. It was exciting.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I wish you good luck in your journey of being a podcaster. You know, like obviously this is a good format. I enjoyed it. I listened to a couple episodes and so much fun. You know, like I love how casual it is, you know.
Oh, it's, yeah. So it's
life, man. We don't want to take it too seriously. I mean, there's serious topics that we can talk about, but we got to keep it, you know, a little bit laid back. Absolutely.
Yeah. You're putting Cincinnati on the podcast map, you know, like it's so amazing.
I love that. We're going to clip that. You're a good man, Lenar.
Let's find the judge.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Lenar.
See you, man.
Bye-bye.
See y'all.